Send a movie idea.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, listener. It's taken us 5 attempts to do this intro. As mentioned on the last podcast, both of us work professionally in the field of podcasting. Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here at the Dream Factory are simple. They're printed on the wall every week. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where it will be watched by anyone who has any idea what Elon Musk's Starlink is. So hello, audience of five. I'm Joel, a man who puts the purr in Puerto Rico, and across from me is John Harris, a man who has, by choice, had a shaven head for several years now, but people say that in the right light, at the right time of day, and with the right metronomy song playing, you can still see that big sweeping emo fringe. Hello, John.
Hello, mate. Yeah,
no, I thought it'd be funny if you had like a phantom fringe that appeared. You know, I think what I saw, I saw a TikTok that was like mid-2000s aesthetics, and it was just lots of people in new rave. And I thought about your fringe when I was watching it. And so I thought, wouldn't it be funny if when John listened to that music, like a ghost fringe appeared?
Two things here. One, when I shaved my head, it took me a very long time to get used to, like, if I went in the shower or anything, I would like sort of preemptively like flick my hair, but like head back as if there was hair to get out of the way. I'm past that phase now. I am aware of the fact I am bald. And then secondly, new rave. No one's done it yet. There's a big like
new.
TikTok. Yeah, exactly. New rave. TikTok, they're bringing back emo. You've got SoundCloud rappers, they brought back emo. Next, new rave. I want to see kids in cheap fluoro sunglasses.
Here's the problem, John. In my house, new rave never went away. So it's difficult.
Klaxons 24/7 around yours.
Absolutely. Right. We're here for film ideas. Not for new rave. We're here for new
That's our
wave
other podcast.
Cinema. We'll be good. We'll be good. We'll be an episode long. Anyway. Right, here we go. This one's from Tom. Big Mama's House. Hugh Laurie plays every character in a slapstick hospital drama.
Oh, I'm...
the episode might only be 2 minutes and 30 seconds long today.
We keep peeking early, don't we? Oh, there's we no do. Way we're beating Big Mama's House.
Might be the best ever suggestion, Tom. An ardent listener, lover of the pod. You've outdone yourself and the show, to be honest.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. That joke
that justifies us coming
this
back
room.
For 2 years. Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, there's no other room in the world where you could tell that joke. It's like Schrodinger's joke.
Oh, I'm loving it.
So yeah, Big Mama's House. Hugh Laurie, I once got into a lift with Hugh Laurie at the BBC.
Okay.
I was very nervous. It's quite scary to be in a lift with someone really famous, isn't it? I don't know.
He's particularly famous. That like
he's really famous, and also I was like a little bit flustered, and I was holding sort of a soup and a roll, and probably a flapjack. That's what I used to get all the time. And you get into the lift, and you're just sort of not. I think it's because you're not expecting Hugh Laurie to be in a lift from the canteen at your work, and then Hugh Laurie's in the lift.
Yeah, the best celebrity lift experience I've got. I'm glad you asked. Mm-hmm. Is Jamie Lang. I've shared a lift with Jamie.
The other best celebrity lift experience I've got is I once picked up No, I can't think of a single other celebrity. I was going to pretend that I lifted them above my head, but I haven't done that.
I thought you genuinely had another one. Well, you know, no. you used to work for a production company doing like live events and stuff with musicians and stuff. I thought maybe you and Getz shared a lift.
But the thing is, John, I hate name dropping, but I've also been in a lift with Paloma Faith. You know, that's kind of the 24/7 rock star life I used to live.
Well, in my 20s.
It got too much for me. You know, there's the thing about the celebrity lift lifestyle is there's a lot of ups and downs. It's a real roller coaster.
Very nice.
And so, it left me flawed.
Oh, Big Mama's house, Joe.
Yeah.
Is it Hugh Laurie's?
Here's a problem, John.
Yeah.
I've never seen House. And I've also never seen Big Mama's house.
I can't say I've seen, because I haven't, Big Mama's house. I have definitely seen episodes of House. And I know the premise is it's sort of like supposed to be Sherlock, but for medical stuff.
Yeah. So someone comes in and they present these symptoms. And either another doctor at the hospital goes, oh, it must just be this disease. And they treat it. And it's not. And
also
House
Hugh
comes
Laurie.
In and goes, you failed to... Who's also Hugh Laurie. And also the patient's Hugh Laurie. Oh, you failed to spot that this guy has also eaten bubblegum every day for the last 7 years, and that actually affects his larynx in a way that you might not think about. And then he solves it with a new disease. Or someone comes in and it's something they've never seen before, right? That's kind of what it always is.
He solves it with a new disease. He gives a patient a disease to cure the old disease.
Yeah. No. He solves it because he suggests a new disease, not the one that's been diagnosed. Yeah.
I quite like
the thing about
that.
House is, yeah, he's also a villain.
He's so maverick. He uses diseases to kill diseases.
It's a risky strategy.
You thought your illness was bad? Check this one out. I love it. Okay, and that's the twist.
That's the twist.
Brilliant.
They're all House. It's a full House.
Oh, very good.
Thanks, John. Have you got a film idea?
Yeah, what about this one from Simon? Interstellar, hard-hitting film about the life of an alcoholic.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think there's much riffing.
We can't be funny about that, can we?
But it's a good pun. That is
It is a good pun. Have you ever been Interstellar?
Right. Actually, we need to jump back. When you talked about eating chewing gum, how much bubble gum did you swallow as a child?
John, I need to get this out there. I'm a chewing gum truther. Just swallow chewing gum.
Oh, what, you're still into
people
it?
Listening to this, just swallow your fucking chewing gum. I have a row about my girlfriend this every time I eat chewing gum. I've rowed with so many people about this. Just swallow your chewing gum. They would not make and sell a product that you chew and eat if it lived in your gut for 7 years. I cannot believe the amount of people that still believe this is a thing. They would not make a product marketed towards children that would live in their gut for the next 7 years. Idiots, 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 idiots. There's so many people out there refusing to swallow chewing gum. Look on any pavement, on any high street, it's covered in chewing gum. Because of some mad, I don't know, this sort of mad old wives' tale that you're not allowed to swallow it. So the streets are covered in it. Guess what? I've never spat a single piece of chewing gum in the street or in a bin or on a train line.
I swallowed all of them.
And here I am.
Not expecting that to go that way.
Here I am. Now, I'm sorry, but this is kind of my ivermectin Joe Rogan moment. You can swallow chewing gum. This will be clipped up and taken out of context. You can swallow chewing gum.
Oh, God.
All the people out there are telling you you can't swallow chewing gum. No one's listening to me, the swallow chewing gum guy. And maybe I'll become like a hard-lined chewing gum conspiracy theorist.
You're like, distance yourself from all your friends and everyone will sort of say, yeah, we kind of stopped hanging out with him after that point. It's all he talked about. He started picking up chewing gum pieces off the ground and swallowing them.
I'm cleaning up
the streets. Apologies, listener, because we are tangent upon tangent already here. Stella, I don't mind it. It's got a negative reputation, but I will happily drink it. Same goes for Foster's, actually. Apologies if anyone is upset about that.
God, we're upsetting some people today. the chewing gum...
Elite.
We're chewing gum truth and lager truthing today. Watch out. What's next? What other myths are we going to shatter?
Who knows? I've got one that was... submitted by accident by my partner the other day.
Was she trying to send it to another movie podcast?
Yes. Right. She was talking about her and my son, and she described them as Tweedledum and Tweedledummer.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. She didn't know that she had done an incredible movie pun, but as far as she's concerned, that is what it is.
That's the thing, John. When you're in your, when she's in your orbit, another brilliant chewing gum brand. so often these ideas, they're just going to happen organically, right? It's as organic as eating and swallowing a piece of chewing gum and then pooing it out the same amount of hours later that you would a carrot.
The clip fades to black and it just says Joel Grove and then just like your date and birth and death.
Tweedledum. Yeah, that's good. That is Alice in Wonderland.
Yes.
Now, Matt Lucas played Tweedledum and Tweedledee in the Tim Burton version.
Yeah.
So you could very easily see Jim Carrey and that the other guy.
Oh my gosh, what is his name? He's a great actor.
Are you
Googling?
No, that clicking on the keyboard is a different sound. That's something else. I actually don't know. What clicking? Anyway, sorry about that, John. It's Jeff Daniels, isn't it?
Of course it is. Yeah.
Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, two of my favourites. They could easily do those roles.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
It's probably time for an Alice in Wonderland reimagining, is it?
It's been 5 years.
Yeah, it's been longer. I went and saw that at the cinema.
Yeah, but then there was that sequel, so I'm not sure how long it has been. But yes, absolutely. Focus it on those two. They get up to weird things. They scream at each other. I think it could be big.
Tim Burton still alive? No, is he still making films?
I was wondering where that was going. He did Dumbo a few years ago.
Keep talking.
I feel like he's probably got a Netflix deal in place, I'd imagine. That feels like the vibe.
Let me tell you. He's been quiet, John. I think maybe we're post Burton at this point.
What, you think he's retired?
I think he hasn't got another hit left in him. Is it a coincidence that peak Burton coincided with peak Burton menswear? Maybe we're sick of the Burton.
It's a Burton
universe.
World. We're just living in it.
It's not anymore. It's a post-Burton world.
I'd love it if you went into Burton's and it was all like ripped black denim and like really tight. it looked like Tim Burton films. That would be good.
2019, Dumbo.
Yep.
2016, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Obviously, we all watched and loved that. 2014, Big Eyes.
Oh, yeah. Amy Adams plays a lady who paints stuff.
That's a really funny name for a film, isn't it? This summer.
Is it a superpower?
Big eyes, yeah. They can just I'm going to do big eyes next week.
Big thighs.
She gets eaten by a radioactive telescope. And then 2012's Frankenweenie.
Yeah, the animated stuff's sort of a different.
Mate, he's directing Beetlejuice 2 has been announced. And a show called Wednesday, which I'm going to guess is some sort of Addams Family Netflix show.
I know. Yeah, I am aware of that.
Look, I don't want Are there Burton stans on the internet? I don't want them coming for me, but guys, what's your guy up to? And any Burton menswear stans out there? Are you sad? You can't get reasonably priced jumpers anymore?
For anyone who happens to not be listening in the UK, Burton's is a sort of generic high street menswear.
Sex shop.
What about
it's
this?
It's a menswear sex shop.
What is that? Right, what about this one from Daryl? Spider-Man Home.
What? Oh, he's just at home.
Yeah. Also, weirdly, I had one from Stu, which was Marvel Internals, which I feel like that's the sequel.
So, is this focusing on the guys? Is it when we're seeing their alter egos more than their superhero personas, right? I don't know. Well, I feel like you see so much of Tom Holland as the Peter Parker.
Yeah.
He's basically always home. He's always at home.
Home is actually my story of my viewing of Spider-Man, because we're now, 3 months since it's been released? Mm-hmm. And I still haven't seen it. And
shit.
Listener, you must be aware that I am the kind of man who wakes up at 7 o'clock on the morning of any Disney Plus Marvel TV show and was there day one for every other Marvel film. But you know when you do thing and you think, oh, I thought I was normal, and then I did a thing and I thought, no, that was not normal. And so basically just before Christmas, that Spider-Man film came out. I booked tickets. I was really excited. And then the Omicron variant started getting a bit scary and I wanted to see my family at Christmas. So I decided not to go. But the way that I dealt with that was rather than sort of like hiding all spoilers online or trying to avoid it, I just immediately watched a bunch of reviews that said everything that happens in the film. So I like spoiled I like made the spoiler be in my control by completely spoiling it.
I think that's maybe the stupidest thing I've ever heard. maybe with Marvel films it's not so much the case. But I think spoilers are now a lot more avoidable than they once were. I don't know if it's because like the sheer amount of TV and film that happens, but I feel like on Twitter it gets pretty segmented off. Like you can quite easily ignore it. I guess Spider-Man is like mega. Like Spider-Man is like, you know, $1 billion plus gross film, so you'll probably see spoilers for it. But like with TV shows and stuff, I feel like if as long as you don't look at Twitter for a day, it's gone.
Well, also my Twitter is, you know, the algorithms have set them up so they are basically just Marvel and Star Wars content just constantly.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I didn't get to see the Batman this weekend because it was sold out all the time. People love Batman, don't they?
I mean, that's great because I haven't seen it either, but I really want more films in that world despite having not seen the film.
I'm pretty confident of not seeing a spoiler. There's nothing out there so far that's maybe nervous.
No, and I think we are in a sort of, not a post-spoiler world because that's insane, but we are sort of like in this world where it's so, people are so delicate with the big films that it's like to a certain level of nerd, like even knowing a certain character is in a film is a spoiler. Like they
want to go in so
blind that it, like, you could be like called out for saying spoilers, for like saying there's a car chase in the Batman, which is obviously going to happen because it's a Batman movie. But that would to some people be considered a spoiler. So yeah, I think we're like, sort of in this weird world. But yeah, no, I can't wait to see it. I saw a sign yesterday, a screen was broken and it displayed the Batman. And again, when you get into, I think the Dream Factory's sort of taken over the world without us realizing. So my partner's doing them by accident. And this cinema screen had broken and it just, it was displaying the Dat Man.
That is funny. It's not really, it's difficult to really know why that's funny, but it just is funny, isn't it?
Dat Man. It was Dat Man.
No.
Marvel Internals. Man. Superheroes that they're stuck
inside.
It's
just like the accounts team. It's the accounts team at Avengers HQ.
I didn't want to get to the last 2 years current affairs-y, but I was wondering if it was a sort of, you know.
They are isolated.
Isolating film, yeah.
That's good. I like that. They're in a bubble.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm into that. Like that crazy Netflix film.
I was just they're all in a
bubble. Called The Bubble. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. I'm looking forward to that. That is. Sometimes I see trailers for films and think, that's a Dream Factory idea. Yeah, that's not a $300 million Netflix film. That's something I would talk about on a podcast for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think we are now at the point where I think during the pandemic, there was a moment where film studios and production companies were like, can we physically make this during a pandemic?
Yeah.
Yes. And then second question was, is it good? And then they were like, they'd already greenlit it by that point.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think that's sort of probably what happened.
Anyway.
But I will watch
it. We've not done many film ideas today.
Ah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's one from Martin. Thank God it's Friday the 13th.
Oh, that's good.
So that's TGI's serial killer. They leave a Jack Daniels glazed prawn everywhere they commit a murder.
That Jack Daniels glaze, man. Whew. No, we're talking about films. We're not doing an immediate tangent, John. I like it as well because we don't ever get into the psyche of the serial killers too much. And they're normally sort of like grizzled and, you know, depressed. Yeah.
And the TGI uniform, to link it to Batman, actually has something of like an old school Riddler, like an elaborate Batman costume to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can go with that.
Batman's new nemesis, the mixologist.
And also, like, I just like the idea of a happy serial killer. He's happy.
He commits a murder every Friday, so he's delighted that it's Friday. Because every Friday morning he wakes up and says, thank God it's Friday. He goes and kills someone. He leaves a Jack Daniels glazed prawn at the site of the murder as a calling card. And goes and does his shift at TGI's.
On Friday the 13th, does he get an extra one? Is that why he's
good.
So happy?
Oh, what a good question.
A bonus. A free refill, if you will.
On Friday the 13th, it's unlimited refills. He can just kill as many people as he wants for those 24 hours.
It's unlimited refills, baby.
He can kill as many people as he can carry Jack Daniels barbecue glazed prawns. And the way he gets caught maybe is that he kills someone and he has to go into work when it's not his shift and steal a prawn.
Oh, there we go.
And they are so on it with their stock checking at TGI's. They notice the missing prawn and they check their CCTV. And that's how he gets caught. It's like Al Capone. They always say, wasn't it, like it was like tax. It was the taxes that got him caught by the police.
Because
he got caught for pinching a prawn.
Yeah, because they have like a buffer of one prawn every Friday. And so he's been getting away with it.
The margins at TGI's are so razor thin that a single prawn and that, I mean, that branch, you can wave goodbye to that branch. You cannot have a prawn wasted.
It wasn't because of the
That's
murder.
Just the reality of running a TGI's. That's the reality of running a TGI's. That's not anything to do with this film. That's And that's why it's so expensive.
I haven't been
to TGI's for ages. Maybe we should go.
I feel like TGI Fridays is the kind of place that, as a kid, was like the greatest thing in the world. But then I think as you get older, you move to London and apparently you have to eat in restaurants that are like proper American-style barbecue. But bring it back. And that Jack Daniels glaze, as I nearly tangented on earlier, delicious.
Superb.
A happy serial killer movie. I love it. What about this one from Dong Borgman? Sometimes you get them off Twitter and that's the name. Rowboat Cop. Sounds like a job for Kevin James. Paul Blart, Robot Cop. Rowboat Cop.
Now, does he voice a sentient boat a la Brum?
Oh,
the car, and he can only solve crimes that happen in the river, or is he just, you know, a hapless Coast Guard guy?
I think Paul Blart is teamed up with a rowboat cop.
Brilliant.
And
brilliant, like Knight Rider.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Knight Rider, and for some reason at the beginning of the film, the technology is sort of deemed redundant, so it was supposed to be like proper RoboCop, right?
Yeah.
But they've made the chips and stuff, so they're going to still use them, but just for very small petty crime stuff, e.g.
That happens at sea. what are some examples of petty crime at sea?
I think it's a lake. I think he's based on a lake.
Okay, pedalo theft.
Yeah, something like that.
there's an extended pedalo chase. Sorry for spoilers, because I know that the hardcore fans of RoboCop won't even want to hear this, but there is a pedalo chase midway through the film.
And so they're both hapless, a hapless robot boat and a hapless lake cop. Pedalo chase, turns out, the people stealing the pedalos, big crime ring.
John, can I just say, I love it in a film when a hapless guy stumbles upon a bigger thing. I'll love that no matter how shit the film is. Something so innocent about it, something so pure. It makes me think, maybe one day I'll stumble upon something fishy going on. And as a result, I always keep an eye out.
He does say something's fishy's going on, just to say for the record. That is a line from the movie.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Eight times.
And I think at the end, I think the boat dies.
Oh.
I think it dies jumping from the water onto the land to save Kevin James.
It takes a bullet for him.
It takes a bullet for Kevin James. And it does the classic I was just learning to love, kind of thing. As it's, and Kevin James screams no at the sky. And then at the end, at the very, very end, you see Kevin James in his lovely seaside home. And he's got a big fish tank in his room. And he's salvaged enough of Rowboat Cop that he's like a little toy boat. And he can chat to him in the fishing tank. That's good, right? That's good, right? What am I talking about?
Right?
We've missed out sort of 99% of the film. No idea how any of that connects, who anyone is. That's good though, right? But at the end, he's in a little fish tank. That's good. Get it made. John, should we do our own film ideas?
Sure thing, mate. Why not? Rosemary's Baby Yoda.
Okay.
I've not seen Rosemary's Baby, but I think it's about a possessed... I think it's about a possessed demon child, right?
No, it's about her, the herb. The herb rosemary, it's... they breed a new super rosemary that's so delicious.
Oh, like tender stem broccoli.
Yes. Is that Broccoli's Baby?
I think so.
Hmm. And John, is sweet corn... is sweet corn the baby of corn on the cob, would you say?
And that and that stuff you get...
baby corn. Oh, there's literally... But what corn. Am I talking about? It's literally baby corn.
Yeah, baby
corn. It's called baby corn. That's what Rosemary's Baby is. It's tiny sprigs of rosemary.
You eat everything with baby corn, though. It's like a sardine.
Do you like baby corn?
Yeah, it's all right.
It is good, but how do you... There's something not right about how... I'm not really sure how you cook it properly, because if you do it in water, it gets so floppy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Steam it?
For me, it goes into...
Stir-fry.
It will go into like a stir-fry or like a sauce. Yeah.
But even then, it gets so floppy.
Yeah, you're right.
If anyone's listening and they know how to avoid baby corn flop, please, God, call me. My number is 07. Call me by tonight when I'm having it for dinner.
Rosemary's Baby is about a demon child, right? I know it's obviously not about the herb, but just checking, right?
Yeah, of course it is. And
fine.
So Baby Yoda becomes possessed?
Yeah. What's scarier than a demon child is a demon child with the Force.
100%. You've always said that. You're actually saying that quite near the end of your partner's pregnancy because you had concerns.
I've got it on my t-shirt right now.
A little baby Sith. Yeah. So, because Baby Yoda has sort of extreme power that becomes more apparent throughout that series.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess it's the Mandalorian picks up Baby Yoda but Baby Yoda's evil?
Yeah.
That's sad. Oh. I would still root for Baby Yoda no matter the acts of genocide it committed.
No matter what, no matter how big the crime,
going to find it hard to... when it comes to Baby Yoda, I don't think there is a line. Could you see yourself stopping supporting Baby Yoda? I mean, look at this, John.
Oh, there he is. What's he got in his hand?
He's eating a frog or something.
Oh, just for the record...
Is he eating frog's legs?
Just for the record, Joel brought out his own personal Baby Yoda.
Hmm. Love that Johnny Cash song. So yeah, that's that. Rosemary's Baby Yoda, evil Baby Yoda. There's no line that won't cross. Here's mine. Rocky Balboa Constrictor.
Oh, yes, please.
Rocky's skint. He's skint. He's got no money. He gets suggested one last fight at ZSL London Zoo. But it's not against a mere... You'll probably guess where this is going, John. He's not fighting a man. He's not fighting a robot. He's fighting a giant snake.
Does he fight a robot? I know that there's like robots in one of the films.
I don't know. I feel like every possible... Do you know what made me think of this? Occasionally I go swimming, and every time I go swimming, I think about...
Fighting animals.
Right, here's an American phenomenon that I've never seen but understand to be very popular. Shark Week.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the fuck Shark Week is, but it was mentioned so often on American things I'd watched as a kid, like Simpsons. And like it sounds to me like it's a national holiday in America where everyone gets a week off to watch programs on Discovery Channel about sharks. So... One Shark Week, this is just so ingrained in my brain that I think about it every time I swim. They pitched Michael Phelps, the greatest swimmer in the world at the time, against a CGI shark in the sea.
Yeah.
And he raced a CGI shark. And I think about that every time I swim. And I was just thinking the other day about other combinations. So I think quite famously, the sprinter Jesse Owens raced a horse. I was just thinking about what else would... I'll be honest, Sean, I was thinking about what animals would I like to see a man fight? Okay. There's no way around this.
Who won? The shark, right?
I don't know, actually. I'll send you the link after this. But if you're Michael Phelps, you'd probably have it contractually agreed before doing the thing that you would beat the shark. I don't know.
And it's
the shark wasn't real.
It's weird that like he got involved and, by the sound of things, swam in the sea. to do this? Why didn't they just get some footage of him swimming previously and put a shark next to it?
Oh, good point. I think they try to really pretend that, you know, him and a shark are sort of laying swimming next to each other.
When you're swimming and you think, I need to get a little bit more energy, do you pretend a shark is chasing you?
Yeah, I do. And I know that's obviously very embarrassing, but I do pretend there's a little shark. When I was a kid, I used to always imagine that, you know, the bars of the wave machine?
Yeah.
I always pretend there was a shark behind there. But now I sort of still think it. So it's not good. I'm 30 years old. Can I just say, I've just skipped to the end of the Phelps versus shark race on YouTube. Only 1:30, I'd recommend watching it. Phelps finishes just behind the great white.
Wow.
But the best thing about it is that the end graphic has second place, American flag, Phelps, 38.1. First place, South African flag, great white, 36.1.
That's, I mean, not
you
fair.
Do find them in South Africa. You do find them in South Africa, right? That, famously. But that's so funny. Why? Yeah, there you go. That's so good. Gold medal, great white.
Who wins the fight between Rocky and the snake?
Oh yeah, that thing. I think Rocky probably wins because it's so hard for a snake to put boxing gloves on.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Dream Factory. It's been a pleasure. John, who do you think had the... Oh, it's Big Mama's house, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I think that won the show in general. Good luck trying to beat that, listener.
The worry is, next time, I'm just going to read out the really good one last. Because it's just like we're just cruising downhill. We say Big Mama's house, everyone laughs, and then it's just us in the audience for the next 28 minutes scrabbling around talking about sharks and chewing gum.
What about Bear in the Big Blue House?
That's good.
Next week.
It's the same thing. I'm into it. Right. We're going to do some correspondence from you, the listener, after this short bit of music.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hello, mate.
I waited for you to do the hosting then.
Oh, yeah, but that never happens.
No.
It's your job. I've been meaning to say, Joel, you're looking incredibly beardy at the minute. Is this... Are you going to have a... Joel generally, once every year or so, will have a crisis of confidence and completely shave his beard.
Yeah, I will. So, for the first time in my life on Wednesday, I'm letting a professional have a go at the beard.
Oh, it's very sad. Well... It's a bit anxiety inducing, I'd say. It depends. Mm. You got to be careful. I went to this guy when I had hair on top of my head, and I asked him to do the beard as well, and he was doing everything so angular, and I thought,
yeah,
I had to be really emphasized, be like, make it look natural, please.
Yeah, a mutual friend of ours, Jack, was saying that he once went to a barber and they cut the fade and everything so angular that he came out and he looked like Drake. So these are my fears. So I'll say natural, not Drake when I go in.
Yeah, start with that. We had a tweet in that is definitely worth bringing up. So last week, the winning film was The Facts and the Curious. And mm-hmm. we decided that was a film about a library on wheels driven by The Rock and Vin Diesel. And Martin got in touch. Martin's got the Twitter handle @smartuk. Which is pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah.
What made him decide to stop at the UK, though? Why not Mr. Smart Worldwide or something?
Pitbull's got that.
Anyway, he says, I was a mobile librarian for a few years.
And whoa!
Once egged on my driver to give it a bit of a welly over a humpback bridge. Almost the entire stock was catapulted into the front half of the bus, and it took me my lunch hour to reshelve. And then he's done the rock and roll emoji.
Martin's lived it.
And a bus. Yeah.
Martin has lived it. Oh, God. The questions I've got for Martin. What a hero.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those things that, like, I just think is one of the most fascinating jobs in the world.
It sounds like the best job in the world. I was a mobile librarian for a few years. Brilliant. You and the driver just, like, it's like a buddy movie, like a road trip buddy movie.
Do you think... Do they have to stay quiet when the bus is moving, or do library rules stop?
Library rules stop the second the engine switches on, I think. Come on.
Blasting out the rock and roll music. I mean, Martin's only got himself to blame. Why would you egg someone over a bridge?
I guess. I don't know. You want to see what that baby can do, right? The mobile library.
But they've in my head that maybe that maybe I'm wrong. Martin, get in touch, please. I'd imagine they're like those kind of vehicles that are like limited to 50 miles an hour, right?
No, that's the thing. The assumption about them is that they will go slow. So nobody ever bothered to limit them. So they can actually go 150 miles an hour.
Martin's got the NOS on them.
If you think you've got a job that can top that, let us know. Contact us at Dream Factory Podcast on all your social medias, because I want to hear about our listeners' jobs.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.